Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast. I'm Brian Christofferson. I'm joined by Michael Brunts to bring some brains to this whole operation. Shaking his head no, but it's true. This is fun, Brunts. It's madness time. Nebraska is actually part of the madness. We're going to road trip it to Memphis, where the Huskers will play on Friday at 5:50 Central on TNT against Texas A&M. Yeah, of course that was what it was.
Yeah.
What do you think of the committee's attempt at humor there? Kind of, I don't know if it went over as well as they wanted. Maybe in some parts it did. Maybe not as much around here.
Yeah, I think after the initial, like, oh, look who they're playing, like after that wore off, it was kind of like, okay, like this is an unnecessary, like, it's a sideshow. And it's like, as much as the committee says, like, they don't pay attention to that stuff, they do. They absolutely do. Like, you don't have Nebraska and A&M playing in both the men's and the women's brackets just by chance. Like,
yeah,
there's ways that you could have avoided that. And, I mean, there's, what, three people with Nebraska ties somewhat on the selection committee? I mean, everybody knows what's going on. Like, everybody gets it. And it's unfortunate because it like kind of takes away from the fact that, like, you know, Nebraska gets like their 10 seconds to celebrate and then blammo, like, you're playing A&M, and you could see it on everybody's faces. Like, they knew what mm-hmm. the storyline was. It's too bad, but that they know what they're doing. They know.
In fairness, because I'd kind of been, throughout the week, I'd been on a couple shows where people were entertained by the idea of it. And so it was like kind of an amusing thought at one point in my head. My initial reaction was sort of a ha. And then I like went back and I was like, nah, it's not that funny. No. Joke didn't age well after like 15 seconds to me. But anyway, yeah, I think what the committee should have got together and compared notes and said, like, who's going with the joke? Because yeah, both of us can't do it. Like, it's like somebody came on stage right after the other one and was like, oh, did you hear this one? And it's like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's
too bad.
I will say this. So Fred Hoiberg and Josiah Alec and Rink Mass come up right afterward. And of course, they get asked about that part and we can move on then quickly. But my point is, I don't think like Alec and Mass and those guys give much of a care about it, honestly. Like, I don't think it's going to actually be a distraction to the team. Do I think it's going to be talked about more than it should be when the game can be the focus? Yes. But I believe the team, when they were initially like talking immediately about Alec and Mass A&M and their rebounding prowess, you know, and stuff like that. And I think they get so like inside the box, you know, on like what they got to do in a particular matchup that all the other stuff is just sort of floating out there. And yeah, you see it on social media a bit, but I think maybe that storyline, even after the first 24 hours kind of played out a little bit, we'll see if the Alberts thing, you know, is still a deal in Memphis for a little bit with some of the writers there. But I like the matchup. Let's get into that.
Yeah.
Nebraska against Texas A&M, who can rebound the heck out of it. They're the number one offensive rebounding team in the country. They get 42% of their misses. But they also miss a lot. That's the thing. They shoot less than 40% from the field, just under 40%, where Nebraska shoots 45%. So Nebraska's a better shooting team, but you know the big challenge here, Brunt, is going to be, can the Huskers keep A&M off the offensive glass? And in particular, Anderson Garcia, 6'7", senior, who's basically the best rebounder in the country, maybe one of them, gets 4.5 offensive boards per game, gets almost 10 total per game. So they got to do a job on him.
It's an interesting match. Like, very rarely do you have both sides of a matchup being like, this is a good matchup for us, you know? Like, and I felt, just kind of reading from like the A&M side of things, I mean, they feel like they have a pretty pronounced advantage on the glass, which statistically they do. They've had better guard play of late. They got on a nice run toward the end of the season and basically kind of played their way in. And, you know, from the Nebraska side, you're looking at just how many three-pointers and how much perimeter offense A&M gives up. And you're saying, okay, if we can make some shots, when we've got a chance to kind of run away with this thing. And so it's, I mean, the 8-9 matchup's always, I guess, kind of, you know, the teams are seated close. They're, you know, supposed to be a pretty tight matchup. But I was just struck by how the narratives on both sides are very much like, okay, this is a good matchup for us. And to me, that just says, like, basically whichever team's able to dictate what kind of game it is, they're probably going to come out with a win.
Well, you can also see it from the other side, where if you just like, who are we playing? Oh, Nebraska, they haven't ever won an NCAA game. You know, like, all right, let's see how that goes. I think if Nebraska is even close to the best version of itself, it wins. Like, it's just a matter of if they're hitting shots or not. I really believe that, because I think this team, when they play well, I actually think they're more like a 5 seed or something like that. Like, when they play really well. And I thought, like, in the last portion of the season, yes, the schedule was lighter for the Huskers, but winning 7 of the last 9, I thought they were playing with more intensity on the defensive end. They'd kind of figured out what they wanted to be there, and the way they were crashing with their doubles and the way they just were all over the place. It was going really well until the second half against Illinois, which of course scored 58 points in the last 20 minutes. If I were to look at that game and excuse it a little bit for Nebraska, I thought Terrence Shannon is so gifted at, like, knowing how to draw contact. And I'm not even going to get into a discussion about the officials, whatever, but he's good at it. He's always has been all year. Like, he's going to get to the foul line. And what he did, Brunson, that game with about 17 minutes left, they're down, and he just starts getting to the hoop, drawing fouls. And it really disrupted the flow of the game, kind of turned it into a stop and start kind of game for a bit. And I thought Nebraska got out of its flow because of him. And so that's what it comes down to in March. Sometimes there'll be like a specific individual on another team who does something that sort of just like wedges into a weakness you may have, or it, like, you know, it causes a problem for you for 15 minutes in that game. And that's all she wrote. So I thought that was the case on Saturday with Illinois. We'll see if A&M has somebody like that. Maybe it is Anderson Garcia or somebody, and he has 16 rebounds, and that's the story at the end of the night. But Nebraska is obviously going to be scouting and thinking about that very hard. And interestingly, Ernie Ziegler, the assistant coach for Nebraska, actually coached Garcia when he was at both were at Mississippi State previously. So that's kind of an interesting side note.
Who needs to have a big game for in your mind in this one for Nebraska?
Josiah has got to be like that dude he's been the last few weeks. He's become a player in the last month I didn't know, honestly, that he was capable of being, like in December, early January. You think of the game he had, like, against Rutgers on senior night, when he was just such a live wire, and it was like any ball that was in the air was sort of his, it felt like. Remember, that came against Clifford Omorui, who had like 15 boards against Nebraska in Piscataway in a game earlier that year. And in that contest, they held him to like 2 rebounds. And Rutgers did get their share of offensive boards by the end of it. But when the game was sort of in the balance, Nebraska did a real good job there comparative to their past game. So they have shown that they can kind of push back on the rebounding. They struggle at rebounding narrative sometimes. And even Saturday, I look back at the stats against Illinois, they were only -6, like at the end of it, like on rebounding, and it was 14-11 on offensive board. So it wasn't like this amazing disparity where they just got crushed, you know? So if they can bring that and stay out of foul trouble more than they did on Saturday, that's a big part of it. Like, you can't have those dumb fouls. Like, yeah, I do agree the officiating was a little slanted at times, but like Juwan Gary's fourth foul was just a knick-knack bad decision by him. You know, Alec had a couple that where it's all energy, but, you know, he got a couple fouls where maybe he can avoid them if you play it a little differently. So that's going to be an interesting part of this game with Alec. Like, can he be that live wire and have that just – the ball is mine way about him and also keep himself out of foul trouble along the way. That'll be important.
It, you kind of mentioned that stretch of games where, you know, Alex played just kind of taking his play to another level. There's been games where Nebraska has played really good interior defense, like really good. And there's been games where they've just, you know, kind of looked a little bit disinterested.
Mm-hmm.
Is that matchup? Is it effort? Like what, like when they're kind of humming along at their best, like it just seems to me like it's just more of an energy thing rather than anything else. I mean, cause they, even against teams that are pretty good in the paint, they've had some good defensive efforts. I mean, is it just a matter of those guys showing up ready to go? Like in your mind?
I think that's a piece of it, but also I just think like communication is a big part of it. Like, I think when you communicate really well and you just like completely understand, oh, okay, when the ball's going here on the floor, this guy goes here, and it happens just so seamlessly, and you know your plan so well, that's when they look really good. And then there have been times where I think they would say they didn't talk enough on defense. You know, like at Iowa, for example, was a game where Hoiberg said they didn't talk well. And, you know, you've really got to fight to the mental part. If a team, you know, puts a like a 9-0 run and their side of the gym is making a lot of noise, like Illinois was doing on Saturday, you know, Nebraska didn't punch back enough there. I felt like actually their struggles defensively and picking up the fouls sort of came over to the offensive end where they started forcing the issue more than they normally do with some shots that I don't think this team normally takes when they're playing really well. And so I thought it kind of worked together where it was bad on both ends for like a 5-minute stretch. And sometimes that all it takes to be on the wrong end, then, you know, you have that drought or whatever. But yeah, I think communication will be huge in this one. And then you're going to need like your guards to crash in and get boards too. Like Bryce Williams at 6'7" has got to have that length play well in this game. I thought a sneaky storyline was Bryce was great. I thought like Friday, Saturday, and I actually voted him on the all tournament team. Casey ended up getting on there, and I understand because he had the heater at the end and was sort of the story of that, you know, that moment. But if you think about the two games, like Bryce had 23 in each and was just like, I felt like keeping them where they needed to be. So if he has a big game, I would throw him with Alec as my two guys. Like, if they play really well, I think Nebraska will be very hard to beat Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It always seems like in tournament games too, that like how teams kind of navigate like the first, basically the first two media timeouts. Like, you need to be dialed in, and you kind of set the tone for the game. I mean, like, it's like thinking back to when Nebraska was in the tournament 10 years ago. I mean, they were just completely out of sorts from the get-go. And you think, you know, other games too. I mean, you got to show that you're, you know, in it, you're focused and everything else, and get off to a good start. Do you think that, like, the way that game against Illinois kind of played out in some ways helps them going into this one? Because it, I don't know, maybe it was, it kind of maybe took the wind out of the sails a little bit, and you kind of have to reset. I don't know. Like, I guess, mm-hmm. like, I can talk myself into that being an okay result, big picture, going into this one.
If people go back to our previous pod, we actually hit on this topic a bit. With like, would a okay scenario without wanting it necessarily, but okay, let's whisper about it. If they played well Friday, played pretty well Saturday and lost, got to go home, recoup, you know, you sort of have to wear it a little bit. Like it you know, sometimes you see teams where it's kind of good. They got that loss off their chest where you're not trying to roll off like a 8-game, 9-game winning streak, you know, that you're rolling in with and all that. And I could see where it could be useful. I think mostly, though, it's that they just played a team who, like, A&M, if you count, is the top offensive rebounding team. But if you go just rebounds in general, they're 7th, I believe. And Illinois is 8th. So, I mean, they just got the team that's basically statistically like one they're going to see. So I think that is beneficial. And I go back to it. They didn't just get hammered on the boards. Like you would think, it wasn't like they're minus 15 or something like that. So if they can be a kind of around where they were statistically in rebounding against Illinois, I'm not saying you concede that you're going to be minus in that category, but if it's kind of close, I think Nebraska can negate it if they're shooting, you know, semi well, like if they can hit 9 threes or something like that.
Do we get a Casey moment in this game? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you had the heater against Indiana, and like, it just in my dumb little mind, it just sets up so well. Like, you've got a late afternoon tip on a Friday. Everybody's heading home from work, sitting down in front of the TV, bellying up to the bar. They got TNT on there, and this kid from Nebraska. Place for Nebraska from Japan is just splashing jumpers from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I want that to happen for like 5 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to happen for a whole half, but just like one of those complete, like, unconscious shooting from everywhere stretch. That's all I want. That's all I want from this game.
Yeah, he doesn't need to score 40. Like, the end of the Indiana game, you know. Or the end of the half, first half, he made 3 threes, and that was enough just the way that happened to produce, like, what it did, like, on social media and stuff, you know? And obviously the last one was just, I mean, that was beautiful. It was like one of those walk-off shots, you know? Got to do a celebration. So I think everybody's hoping for it. I think the greatest dream is like Charles Barkley on Saturday. They have him in doing that interview, you know, on CBS at a halftime of a game or something. And he's trying to pronounce Tominaga's last name. And like everybody wants that. I think the good thing with Casey is there's a pressure to have that moment. But I've also thought about that. He like always has pressure on him because he has, you know, Japanese media following him like every game, reporting his stat line back home and like how it went and stuff like this. So it's not like it's new to him, like having to individually produce and have it be under the microscope. So I think that's useful. I also think it can be Nebraska's advantage potentially if the other side gets so fixated on hearing about somebody where it's like got to shut off Tominaga, and then you realize, oh, Mass could hit three threes or Bryce Williams could, you know, go off for 22 or whatever.
Right.
And if Tominaga just plays a smart game and lets it come to him with the shot selection and all that, then I think all the hype around him is of use no matter what his stat line ends up. It just comes down to him like not trying to force the issue, which I actually give him credit. I don't think he does as much as people sometimes act like they act like he's such a gunner, and he will have heat check shots, but he's also had games where he's shot the ball like twice and a half, you know, and passed it around. So he's definitely capable of being that guy. If the space isn't like right there.
Yeah. How many media did he have following him around up in Minneapolis?
Oh, I believe I saw at least like 7 or 8, I think it's fair, Japanese media that were there like waiting to interview him. And they might have been some of them from the same outlet. There might have even been more. But it was funny. Yeah. Like after Friday's game, like in the hall, there's like a line of media from his home waiting for their turn with him. And I mean, it's a fun story. That's why you hope it works like your imagination it has it right now, you know, because everybody can see like what it could be. Remember that kid from Ole Miss too, who like went off of like, there's these story. He was kind of like an Eminem. His name was Marshall too, I think.
Marshall Henderson. Is that right?
Yeah. He went off for, you know, in a couple games and like those are the kind of things you love about March when that happens. But I think most importantly, if Nebraska wins, gives him a second chance to do it, like gives him two opportunities at it. There you go. There's your best scenario.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Do you think this team's like ready for this? Like, I mean, it's been 10 years. I mean, they know the narrative around here. I mean, I feel like Fred's kind of just measured approach is really helpful in this kind of a situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always struck by, like, when he talks about his own playing career, just the depth of things that he'll go into about, you know, what it means to him. You can tell that, like, games that he lost still piss him off, you know, even now. But, I mean, the way that he talks about the NCAA tournament, I think he's kind of preaching it as like it's like a life-changing opportunity in some ways for these guys, and something they'll always remember. But I don't know. I think his approach is how you kind of have to do it in the NCAA tournament, because it keeps your team from being too just vibrating too much, you know, like it's just a really kind of calm approach.
I mean, the advantage is he's won as a head coach there. He's been to the Sweet 16. He took four Iowa State teams in. His first one that got in, that was a little bit of a build he had to do there. It happened quicker, of course. But his second year, they were an 8 seed, and they actually beat I think they beat UConn, who was maybe the defending champs, not as good that year, but they beat them pretty handily and then lost in the second round. So I think – I noticed that even when things were going really well, like in January and in February, and it was trending toward they were going to be in the brackets, he always was pretty composed about it and not like just acting like, oh, man, can you believe that happened? I mean, he always thought, I think this team was capable of maybe being in this spot. Mm-hmm. Things had to go right and guys had to gel. But I think he saw it way before anybody else, of course. So. That can definitely help. And I noticed, like, on Saturday, I went back and watched the CBS broadcast because I wanted to hear, like, what Raftery said and all that.
Company man.
Yeah, I am. And a couple minutes into the game, and I think this is encouraging, I didn't know how Nebraska was going to respond on that stage. You know, like, it's kind of a big deal. You step out there and you're getting ready for the tip, and there's Grant Hill and Raftery, and you see that CBS logo over there, and it's like, okay, this is a different kind of TV setup. And Nebraska played really well, you know, off the bat. And Raftery, like 2 minutes in the game, says, this team's so relaxed, aren't they, like their coach, you know? And I thought like he could tell, like, even a few minutes into the game, that this was a team that wasn't like just shaking in their sneakers about it, and they were just playing ball. And so hopefully that carries over into this one, because if they play with like the same sort of mental capacity they had against Illinois, I think they'll be fine too. Like, it's just a matter of getting to that point. Of course, you never know. If you shoot like 4 of 32 from three, you'll be done, you know? So that's the way hoops go sometimes. But I think because they're so veteran, that helps too. You've got enough guys, even though they haven't been in this particular setup, they've been sort of building their whole careers, like Mast and Bryce Williams, to be here and be in this moment. So hopefully they don't put too much weight on it, but just enough. And we'll see if they can find that right balance.
Anything else stand out about you, to you about the bracket in particular on Nebraska's in Nebraska's region? I mean, you've got,
what do you think?
You get Houston in round two, potentially. I mean, I say potentially more so from Nebraska's and Texas A&M's end versus Houston's, but
you're sleeping on Longwood.
I am a little bit. I'm a little sleepy on the Lancers, because I don't even know, they were like a mid seed in their own conference tournament. Like, I think they kind of upset to get in.
They're the Lancers.
Yes,
I didn't know that. The heat is on. Do they play that when they get rolling?
I don't know. I think. I would appreciate it if they did. And don't you for 1 second discount how Alex Arvin used to rock on Friday nights. So.
Oh, I was there. I was there as a young lad.
I mean, anything else? I mean, you got Marquette as the two. It's a little unfortunate that Nebraska didn't get to the seven in that region, because you would have – I would have felt a lot better about seeing Marquette in the second round than I would have for a lot of the two seeds.
Yeah. And they could have still done their Nebraska, Texas A&M joke, 7-10 probably, and it would have made sense.
Yeah. I mean, the seeding doesn't matter anyways. You just move it around.
If you believe the overall seeding, I looked at the chart, Nebraska was 29. So that means they were the first 8 seed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, had they won against Illinois, it supposedly, we don't know, but they probably would have been in that 7. But, yeah, I think the first round draw is good. I think the long view of like making a big run is challenging because I think Houston's really good. And I know they got smoked by Iowa State in the Big 12 title game. And I think they have an injury or so. So maybe, you know, maybe that lingers and they struggle and they don't get off the ground, but they're a tough team. The thing about Nebraska's bracket is basically they got lined up with just like, two just rebounding horses of teams, you know, like it's like, right. Which are the two teams that are like, can give you the most problems, like with their rebounding for a team that sometimes when it's gone way wrong, that's been the biggest issue. Well, here they are, at it.
Just line
them up.
That's
what Nebraska got. So if I'm honest about it, and I think I've been pretty positive about how Friday can go, but like, I don't love the second round game. And I think there are times you would say, well, when would you say that if you're a 7 or 8? Maybe you wouldn't, but that if they had gotten a 7, there are games where I would have like thought like, hey, anything could happen if Nebraska gets to the second round, and it still can. But I think it's a tough draw as far as getting through Memphis. But that's what's expected when you're like in 7 or 8 seed. And I think most people around the state are like, take care of that first one. Yeah. Let's enjoy that. I hope people, if that does happen, don't make it too much about the Trev thing and like throwing on that. And instead it's just like, this is the first one in school history. Let's celebrate that way. The other side of the bracket, it's got, Marquette is the 2, Kentucky is the 3. People are kind of high on Kentucky making a run out of this bracket. I've noticed, cause of their talent, they score a ton, give up a ton. They actually also lost to this A&M team at the SEC tournament. So that's one of A&M's better wins. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. Wisconsin's in the bracket and that side as well as the 5. Duke's the 4. James Madison is kind of the everybody's kind of got that one circled. That's the game where you might see angry Greg guard after the first round game.
That's the one where you're supposed to show you're like a hoops head. You watch a lot of ball.
Yeah. Everybody's focused on Duke. You're focused on the James Madison Dukes. That's what you're, if you really like ball.
Yeah. I like when there's like a certain team that picks up steam every year in March. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, this is the upset. I'd like a percentage that someone should do this story where they figure out like in the last 15 years, like who the it upset team was from Sunday till the first game and like how they did. And it might be interesting. I don't know. Maybe they've won like 6 or 7 of the 15, but I think just as many times the 5 seed or whoever is getting crapped on all week, like is like, nah, that's not going to happen. And then they take it out on them. But James Madison, not bad for being 5'4", huh? Is that what he was?
Yeah, no, he surprisingly one of the more athletic presidents, apparently. Who knew?
Yeah.
Cat could ball. Anything else to get into before we sign off here? Maybe a little hoops preview podcast for Friday morning to get you through the workday.
I got a new case. The viewers should be let in on this. It's really interesting. I got a new case for my microphone, so I think that should happen from Memphis.
You do a little, get a little blues. You play a little slide guitar in the background for us while we're, talking tournament.
I can't. I don't think I'm hiding it. Like how I've always wanted Nebraska to cover a team. I didn't cover the 14 team, and then beyond that, wasn't in the picture really. I did like back in the old newspaper days, cover a couple like as a second guy, like Barry Collier teams, but that never happened. So I've always thought like, man, if those guys could just get to this weekend and be part of it. Like you go somewhere and you're watching the other games and, you know, like it's a fun thing. I like that they're playing Friday too. Like I like that there's some time for the tournament to marinate, you know, like, like they're not playing at 11:30. It's cool if you win, but it really sucks if you play at 11:30 and you're done.
you're home by dinner time and most of the teams haven't even played yet.
Yeah. And then you're like thinking of like Iowa's like playing in the NIT still like a week later or whatever. Yeah. So I'm glad that it's on Friday. And I think they got a cool site. I expect there'll be a decent number of Nebraska fans. There was a good following in Minnesota. Maybe if there's a benefit to the A&M thing, that fuels like a few extra buys of that. Like, I'm doing it. I'm going.
I'm gonna drive down to Memphis and stick it to Trev.
I'm going to give him a piece of my mind if I see him. So yeah, maybe that'll happen. And if that puts 50 more Husker fans in the seats, I guess there was the payoff.
Yeah. Spite and comeuppance are big emotions.
You can't return, as they say in Seinfeld, you can't return wardrobe for spite, but maybe you can.
Get us out.
That's all. Oh yeah, that's all I got. We'll end on the Seinfeld reference, but you should come back to Husker 24/7 for all the latest. A lot of football stuff too. Spring ball starts at Sunday/Monday kind of. And Matt Rhule had his press conference yesterday. Said a lot of interesting things too. The athletic director search goes on. Chris Kaborik, the interim president, weighed in there. That's on the site. So everything's happening. Just come back to Husker 24/7 and just keep clicking on it, because there's always going to be stuff going throughout the week. We appreciate you listening.